Welcome to the Cuban Family Roots Podcast, a monthly podcast dedicated to discussing Cuban history and ancestral roots. I'm your host, Aileen Vega, podcasting from Woodbridge, New Jersey. As a genealogy enthusiast, I created the Cuban Family Roots Podcast to help others in their genealogical journey. I conduct interviews with Cuban researchers and geneticists, authors, and those with knowledge and expertise in Cuban history and genealogical research. I'm committed to conducting interviews that will point to genealogical information and resources to lead family historians in the right path to finding their family roots. From 1492, when Columbus claimed the island for Spaniards, to present-day Cuban, our history has been rich and traumatic. Now our family history is slowly vanishing due to archival despair. Cubans inside and outside the island yearn to capture, learn our past, our origins, and our ancestral roots. Knowledge of our history is the key to keeping our Cuban family roots alive. I hope you enjoy listening to each episode as much as I enjoy producing them. The Cuban Family Roots Podcast can be heard on Spotify, Radio Public, Google Podcasts, and many other platforms. You can support us by simply listening and engaging. Welcome to another episode of the Cuban Family Roots Podcast. I'm your host, Aileen Vega, podcasting from Woodbridge, New Jersey. And we're already in May 2022. This month, I have a great episode. We are going to interview Ed Elizondo. And Ed Elizondo, for those who may not know who he is the founder of the CubanGemWeb.org website. Long ago, back in 1996, Ed started the Cuban Gem Web, and it was probably one of the first online resources for Cuban to help them find their Cuban roots. So for those of you who may not know what the Cuban Gem Web is, I think most people in genealogy are familiar with the site. The Cuban Gem Web is an online bilingual depository of resources and data that is dedicated to Cuban genealogy, and it is intended to facilitate the search for people's Cuban roots by providing as much information as possible to get you started in your research and to help fill in some of the missing blanks. The Cuban Gem Web is a non-profit organization and a hobby that Ed started about 1996 with the encouragement and support of family and friends. Ed is a retired engineer from Lauderdale-by-the-Sea, and he is the webmaster for the Cuban Gem Web. Today I have the pleasure of interviewing him, so please do not turn that dial. I'll be right back after these messages with Ed Elizondo. Before we begin our interview with Ed Elizondo, I wanted to give a background about the World Gem Web, how it got started, and how this prompted Ed Elizondo to start the Cuban Gem Web. The World Gem Web project was created in 1996 by Dale Schneider in an effort to answer the growing needs of genealogists worldwide who were trying to research their ancestry online. His original goal, who either live in their own country or who are familiar with their country's resources. By the close of 1996, many of the larger countries in the world had websites online, thanks in part to the early success of its sister's project, the U.S. Gem Web project, which went online in June of 1996. Throughout the next year, the project continued to recruit volunteers and became firmly established as an online resource of international genealogists. It was then, in 1998, that Ed Elizondo decided to become a volunteer and created the Cuban Gem Web. Again, the Cuban Gem Web, its mission is to provide a bilingual depository of resources and data dedicated to Cuban genealogy. The kind of information that you will find in the CubanGemWeb.org website will be for people who want to look up their surnames, information on the LDS Family History Center, information from Cuba on different Cuban archives, documents, and phones and ad. How did you start the Gem Web, and why did you get involved in this?
I started because I was curious about some of my ancestors. I'm an only son. And I had information about my father and grandfather. My grandfather was actually killed, according to my father, by Spanish soldiers. And my father was, the families all left for Venezuela, where there was a Cuban governor of the state of Zulia. And he welcomed all the Cubans there. And my father was born in Venezuela, and my uncle and one of my aunts were born there too. And some intermarried to the people there. So anyway, we have connections to that area. But anyway, that's really irrelevant. I was just curious to find out what was going on. And I was interested in computers. Early on, I bought one of the first computers made, which was an IMSI, back in the 70s. And there was no internet then. You can't believe yeah. it, but there was no internet.
Oh, I believe it.
but the CompuServe had a very nice service, and they had a Latin America roots forum, which attracted people who were interested in doing the equivalent of doing genealogy. So I joined CompuServe, and through a bunch of other friends in California, and we started digitizing the list of veterans of the Cuban War of Independence and the 10 Years War, and with a bunch of people in the California area and the San Francisco area, we finally ended up doing that, and that was the first major database that we added, that I added. First it was in the Roots Web Forum in CompuServe, and then eventually CompuServe allowed people to have their own websites and a homepage, and I formed the World Gen Web, Cuban Gen Web, which is part of World Gen Web, and we registered I'm looking at the history here on the website. By the way, all this information is on the website.
Correct.
We registered the Cuba Gen Web domain in 1998. And we moved the contents from CompuServe to this new website, and we changed a few times about who the holder of the website was, the domain. But we ended up putting the website in a place. On a company called 1&1.com, which was a German company, a very large commercial web hosting company, where still is that. Anyway, and we added, we finished the database of the veterans of the War of Independence and the 10 Years War, and it's still on the website. And then we started doing other things, like, for example, there's a series of books by the Count of Haruko called The History of Cuban Families. And right. we started digitizing that. And, well, we actually digitized that. And we kept going. When eventually I moved to Miami, to this area, Florida, I joined the Florida Genealogy Club. And they had microfilms of the newspaper from Havana, the Diario de la Marina, which at that time was the official newspaper of the port of Havana. It was not just a regular newspaper. It was an official newspaper. And it had passenger lists. And we started digitizing all those passenger lists, and to the point where we now have 330,000 names.
That's amazing.
Which is amazing. But unfortunately, those microfilms that at FIU got damaged with mold, and they threw them all out. So we stopped being able to do that. It's a long and colorful history of the website, but what we're trying to do is trying to digitize. Since I'm an engineer, I mm-hmm. want to digitize the data. I don't want people to have to go to pages and look at pages, but to digitize. So we took the Haruko books and digitized the information there, and at least put the names of the families and relatives. And we did the same with a few other databases. Anyway, that's where we are now. We have a huge website with a lot of stuff in it.
Yes.
And you can spend a lot of time looking at it. And
well, I have another question for you. Are you able to track how many people visit your site?
Yeah, on the first page, there's a counter. And the counter right now is, it's at the bottom of the page. It's a service which I found and I've been using for many, many, many years. And it says when I printed it out, it had 588,863 visitors since 4th of July 1996, which is when the counter was put on. And I think it's gone up since I printed this out, a few more names.
That's
so that's automatically increased. I don't have to track it. I don't have to do anything.
Yeah, definitely. Now, another question. Are there any future goals of things that you would like to add to the site in the future, since more and more things are becoming available to people?
Well, there's a lot of Cuban church records that are becoming available. Unfortunately, I don't have anybody living in Cuba to help. I was talking about there's a guy who lives in Spain who's a distant relative, and I've met him in person, and he runs or at least part contributes to the newsletter of Spain genealogy, Spanish genealogy, mm-hmm. and he is from a little town in Cuba, Haruko, I think, mm-hmm. and he had that digitized, and he's the only one that I know that has done anything in Cuba lately.
That's wonderful. What is your message for Cubans who are starting out and for those who are, veterans when it comes to using your site? What advice will you give them?
Well, I would very much say to them to read what's on the first page that says what's new, what's available. And there's a menu on the left side saying getting started.
Right.
And I think that's what you should click on to find out how to get started.
So it's pretty easy to navigate after that.
Yeah, I've tried to make it easy for everybody because I don't want to be on the phone answering queries all about the same thing.
Right. Exactly.
I have too many other things to do.
Exactly.
No. So I'm saying I've tried to make the website as user friendly as I can. So I've added sections on what is Cuba GenWeb and why do we do this and who pays for this and where do we do research for others? And the answer is no.
Right.
And we try to digitize things, like we digitize phone books. We have the database of 10 Years War and War of Independence veterans. One of our relatives, Fernando Fernandez Cavada, died in Santo Domingo. He had a lot of information, except he gave it all to the University of Miami, which I have no contact with. So I was able to get some stuff from his descendant, but that's about it. Cuban archives are in sad need of updates because there just aren't any, or the ones that are, I don't know about yet. So that's one area that we should look at. And the personal area that I'm concerned with is, who's going to take all this over? I'm 86 years old. Somebody's better take this over before I die or have a stroke.
That was actually going to be one of my questions, you know, because I know you are the webmaster and you do a lot of different functions within that website. When you no longer are able to do that, you know, is there someone else that will be able to take over? Have you spoken to anyone?
I've been a member for many years of the Miami Genealogy Club, and I like some of the people who are there, the Martha Ibanez Cervudakis and Mariela Fernandez and people like that. And I'm hoping that they will at least take, if they don't take the whole website, at least they should take the data.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be really important. Not to lose, you know, the data.
Yeah, I don't want to lose. I don't want to lose it. No, right now I can make a CD out of it, or a DVD actually, and give it to them and say, here it is. And if they're willing to pay for the hosting fee, which isn't that much, they could put it up just like it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one possibility, is you just put it up. I appreciate your interest. I just want to tell everybody to go look carefully at the website, because it's got a lot of information on it, how to get started, where the sources are, all that kind of stuff. You know, that's what you really should do.
Well, thank you very much, Ed. I appreciate it. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and like to help support the Cuban Family Roots podcast, please share it with others, post it on your social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from me, you can follow me on Instagram at Cuban Family Roots, or on Twitter at Cuban Family Roots Podcast, or Facebook at Cuban Family Roots Podcast. Thanks again, and I'll see you next time.